stance. The dice roll every random chance. Take off your coat and stay a while. We'll roll in that D percentile.
Hi everyone. So I've been thinking about the XP and treasure economy in Old School Essentials. And I think that this will be the first time that I've just played Old School properly. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know that there's things that I've always done. I've always said, well, I just like milestone leveling, keeps it simple, drives a more kind of narrative game. And then as I've been mucking about with different systems, I've been discovering a bit about how all of these basic principles of Old School gaming join up. So I'm going to stick with, I mean, when I played 5th Ed, I did XP for monsters and I kind of resented it. I don't really like the bookkeeping, but you've got to do XP for monsters and XP for treasure. And I've been saying, as I've run other games, I've seen how actually just the motivation, if you want to just do a relatively sandboxy open world game, there you go, off you go, then what else is going to motivate the characters? So XP for treasure, XP for monsters, that is how I am playing it. And it will be the first time certainly I've ever done XP for gold. So that's quite fun. And it's easy enough to just do out the calculation at the end of the session and pass it out to the players. So I'm looking forward to that. And you always know the group, you know, they'll head off in the direction that they think is going to get them the most XP. Everybody's motivated the same way. Keeps things simple. So that's good fun. And I've been looking at the treasure economy in Old School Essentials. And in a way, it's a thing that you can't really get wrong. But I am just interested in how the different things stack up. You can't really get it wrong because, you know, if players are watching their encumbrance, I suppose you've got basic equipment, haven't you? But yeah, it doesn't take, actually it won't take you very many delves to sort of optimise your equipment. Maybe to get the best armour if you're a fighter, it'll take a few delves. But basically they're going to optimise their equipment pretty quickly. And then really, they're hoarding gold for your high level, you know, to build your stronghold or your other domain. So again, that seems to me to be an important part of the basic assumptions of Old School Essentials. You know, to get the right weapon, putting magic items aside, and the best armor and all the kit you can carry, you know, your poles, your lanterns, whatever. There's even hirelings are something different, retainers, your torch bearers going down in the dungeon with you. I like that they are, the number of those is constrained by your charisma, so you can't even spend that much money on those. So the things you're going to want to spend your money on eventually are going to tail off, and you're just going to be banking your gold for your stronghold or other domain. So that's pretty cool. So we know what they're up to. You know, they're hoping to survive to high levels so that they can establish this domain. That's part of what I was trying to do in the Black Hack with my faction rules, but it all got a little bit complex. But here it's simple. I'm not going to be awkward about banking or whatever. Just anything you're not spending, you're not going to take back with you in the dungeon, that's banked. Obviously you can pass it on to another character if you die, you can pass it on to a related character with a heavy tax on it. I quite like that. So that's basically what they're playing for. They're playing to get to high levels, so the XP motivator is there, and to accumulate the gold so that when they're at those high levels they can shape the game world by establishing a new castle or tower or whatever else it is, dependent on character. So that's there, that's the basic assumption. That's why they're trying to kill monsters and take their stuff. So that's all neat. So in a sense, you can't really get it wrong, as I say, because once you're fully optimised, there's a little bit of upkeep. It's going to cost you a little bit of gold every now and again, but basically, you're hoarding it. Then you've got magic items. I'm going to do all of that randomly. So I'll stock rooms as per the book. I'll equip monsters as per the book. I'll probably roll. It's quite fun to roll the treasure on the spot. So they'll get those magic items pretty much randomly. Every now and again, I'll drop something in that is narratively significant. But that's all. You know, you've got all those tables. May as well use them. It's very, very swingy. Very, very swingy. Amusingly, Gavin says one of the things he corrected was that the averages on the monster table seem to be wrong in BX, so he corrected those. But I mean, there's a design principle in there, which is quite interesting to see. But whether any of this adheres, whether it's quite, it would be quite hard to see whether even over a considerable amount of time, the, you know, what you rolled up for your monsters ever accorded in any way with the design principle. But it's in the design principle, which is interesting, is in the XP guidance. You know, how to do XP in Old School Essentials. And it says that generally 3/4 of your character's XP are going to come from treasure that is brought back rather than from monsters. Now, that's quite good, because if you wanted to ditch the random attribution and just stock a dungeon with treasure, there's a nice good rule of thumb there, isn't there? You take the XP value of the monsters, you multiply it by 3, and you turn it into gold. And that's how much treasure you should be giving out. Whether doing it all randomly by monster hoard, monster carried treasure, room stocking, whether it would ever even out as that, I don't know. But I thought that was interesting to see that, that that's the general principle. So also you should know pretty much from just counting up your monster XP how much XP your party can expect from a dungeon. If the treasure does accord to that kind of general rule of thumb, then you'll know that if you add up all of your monster XP from a dungeon, multiply that by 4, that is probably the potential XP that the group are going to get from that dungeon. So that's another useful rule of thumb. As I say, whether playing it by the tables it ever comes out that way, I think it would be very hard to ascertain, but that's quite a useful principle. But I won't be stocking my dungeons separately. I'll just use all the tables, because they're there and they are part of the game to me. There are some, I mean, as I said before, I don't know how much of this experience is really carefully designed. There are some quirky inconsistencies. So normal understanding with monsters, whether you encounter them as wandering monsters or in their lairs, is that they have the treasure, which is on their monster description. But then if you look at the dungeon stocking guidance in Old School Essentials, you've got a table with a whole bunch of different things. Maybe it's a special room, maybe it's a trap room, maybe it's a monster room, maybe it's an empty room. And then they've got chance of treasure. Well, that works for all the other rooms, but for a monster room, it's got a 3 in 6 chance of treasure. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean every time you meet a monster, there's a 3 in 6 chance it'll have its treasure? Or only when you meet a special assigned monster in an assigned room, there's a 3 in 6 chance? It seems to me, I've tried to ask on the forums, how do people interpret this? But it seems to me there's an interesting little inconsistency there, which actually would, I mean, if you cared about these things, it would affect the treasure distribution quite a lot. I mean, it seems to matter whether a monster has a 50-50 chance of carrying its treasure. So I've tried to ask on the gnome forums, you know, how do people interpret this? Do you say a monster always has a 3 in 6 chance of having its treasure, or do you just basically ignore what seems to be a kind of inconsistency on that table? I don't know. You know, magic items, it's fun to look through those lists. They're pretty varied and interesting. I was interested to see that curses only seem to apply to armor and shields. There don't seem to be other curses there, but I do love that. I love that cursed armor. You only know it's cursed when you put it on and then you can't get it off. That is quite good fun. So I'm spending some time familiarizing myself with those tables, so I know the kinds of, you know, I know the kinds of implied challenges that are there. But definitely doing it randomly is nice. If you put a particular kind of, deliberately put a particular kind of magic sword in a dungeon, this is a principle I've discussed in relation to Numenera, then you start thinking of the problems around it as problems that are solvable by having that magic sword. Whereas if you chuck out your magic items randomly, you're not contriving those situations on behalf of your players. You're leaving it more open to their creative play. So I'm going to really enjoy using those treasure tables. Oh, cursed scrolls. You've got cursed scrolls as well, and they are very good fun. Just by looking at the scroll, you get the curse. So there's no amount of detecting magic is going to help you out with that one, I think, or reading magic. Where I am with encumbrance, I thought of just doing basic encumbrance to keep it simple. Then the guidance there is just that the GM decides when you're encumbered, and that just affects your speed dependent on the kind of armor you're wearing it. Increasingly, given the centrality of, you know, the central importance of how much gold you can actually carry out of the dungeon, I'm thinking I'll probably do the more complicated encumbrance, given that it's not that much more complicated. All the bookkeeping there is on the player side. Every now and again, I'll have to assign a weight to something in answer to their questions. How much does it weigh? But other than that, I mean, my players don't resent a little bit of bookkeeping and things that you can pass over to the players. It's your job to record your encumbrance and note when you've passed one of those thresholds. It's no complexity for me. You know, my players are all pretty experienced and trustworthy and enjoy those elements of the game. You know, they enjoy making those decisions about whether they're going to pass one of those thresholds and get a bit slower, move around the dungeon and in combat. So why not do it that way? So yeah, I'm thinking, I mean, maybe other GMs who are more experienced with a more authentic old school style rather than the kind of imagined old school style which I have enjoyed hitherto, might already be good at this. But I'm gonna make clear to the players, look, this is what you're playing for. It's there, it's in your character description that when you get to a sufficiently high level and you've got a sufficient amount of gold, you can build your domain, and then you really begin to have an impact on the world. You know, you build a stronghold, a tower, whatever, that then becomes part of the world, and from which you can, you know, really significantly direct the development of this campaign world. So you shift into a new gear when you get to that. So that's what you're after. So think about all this XP for gold, XP for treasure. That's what you're doing. This is your dream. This is your aim. You need the gold. You also need the esteem which comes with overcoming these evil challenges in the world. So that's your motivation. But it's not just XP so you can level up. It's not just gold so you can get the XP so you can level up. It's all of it. It's overcoming the monsters, hoarding the gold so that you can become this more powerful agent in the game world. And then hopefully that will encourage them constantly to be thinking about why are they doing this, to be thinking about what kinds of actions in the future they hope to achieve, what kinds of agendas they hope to advance from their stronghold, from their domain, which again, while they're doing it, while they're dreaming about these things, that is in itself tying them in to the future of the campaign world. So that's what I'm going to say to them. Look, that this is the aim of this campaign. The aim of this campaign is you're going to get to those high levels, you're going to get that gold, and you're going to become that powerful influencer of this world.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact Dave, please leave a message on Anchor, email dpercentile@gmail.com, or find him on Twitter at d_percentile.